Sunday at this time, the Radio Hall of Fame brings you...
Hey, mister, where'll I put these bags?
Bags? What bags?
Well, a couple here just checking into the Hall of Fame.
Hello, I'm Grant Matthews. This is my...
And I'm Glenn Rich.
And I'm
Taya.
Yeah, what...
I'll take the... Right up the guest room, son.
Paul, just who are these, Matthews?
Oh, Glenn, I see you're not up on... Be the most famous... Mrs. Common on Broadway. Ralph Bellamy and Ruth Hussey, stars of State of the Union.
Oh, they're our guests for today.
Yes, Glenzie, and while they're making themselves comfortable, let's get on with the show.
The show? Oh, yeah, the show. Of course, I must introduce our singing star, Miss Martha Tilton, the Philco Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Choir, and ladies and gentlemen, the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn Riggs, and here's the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Choir voicing their musical welcome to our guests with No Can Do.
Sensational new Philco Advanced FM, an entirely new system of FM reception developed in the Philco laboratories. Philco engineers describe Advanced FM as the first true FM detector ever invented. It brings you two major improvements in your radio listening. First, finer and clearer tone, and second, high fidelity. Philco Advanced FM actually ignores noise, both natural and man-made. And when you listen to high-fidelity FM programs, you'll get the full range with Philco Advanced FM without distortion of bass or treble. Philco Advanced FM is the first major post-war advance in radio reception available to the public, developing an entirely new basic electronic circuit. Product of Philco's wartime research in ultra-high-frequency radio, Advanced FM has widespread applications to television and communications, besides increasing your listening pleasure on the new Philco radio phonographs and table models. Yes, Philco Advanced FM is one more example of why Philco is famous for quality the world over.
Now I'd like you to meet two stars of the cinema heaven who have combined their talents to give a brilliant performance in the play State of the Union. Ladies and gentlemen, Philco welcomes to the Radio Hall of Fame Ralph Bellamy and Ruth Hussey.
Hello, Paul.
Hello,
for me, too.
You two play husband and wife so well in the State of the Union. Anyone would think you really were married to each other.
I know what you mean, Paul. We receive more letters asking for advice than Mr. Anthony.
Tell me, Mr. Anthony, what is the most important thing in a happy marriage?
Oh, that's easy, Martha. Getting the girl. The proposal.
The proposal? The way the swain makes you swoon.
You mean there are different kinds of proposals?
Yes, indeed. Take the shy guy, for instance. He knows what he wants to say. She knows he's going to say it, but nothing happens. Like this. Wonderful night for the race, isn't it?
What race?
The human race. That's a joke I heard. Look, I've known you for 10 years, and I think it's high time that I kissed you. There, I've said it.
Well, kiss me. Go ahead.
Huh?
Kiss me.
Well, don't crowd me.
I said, kiss me.
Please, you're hurting my arm. Here's your kiss.
Ralph, where did you learn to kiss like that?
Oh, there was some girl I used to go out with. Now that I've kissed you, we're engaged, and now that we're engaged...
Yes?
Can I go home?
Now, look, do you have something to say to me about marriage?
I do.
And do you propose to propose?
I do.
I now pronounce us man and wife.
Paul, see what I mean?
The next type of proposal involves two thoroughly bored, blasé people who are utterly, utter, and terribly, terribly in love. Listen.
Ruth, be very frank. How do I strike you?
With either hand, I suppose.
How droll.
Wherever did I put my drink?
I believe I'm sitting on it.
How droll.
Cigarette?
Thank you.
Match?
Thank you.
Marriage?
No, thank you.
But Ruth, I adore you. Is there anyone else? Some inferior sort of person?
No. Actually, I want a man who's 6 feet tall.
I'm 6 feet tall.
He must have brown hair.
I have brown hair.
And he must have a face like yours.
I have a face like mine. Let's give it a go, shall we?
Oh, very well. When?
Tomorrow at 1:00.
Busy. How about 4:00?
Busy. How about 6:00?
Busy.
Too bad. Might have been a wonderful marriage. Goodbye. Now, Paul, comes the dreamer's type of proposal.
I know the type. Completely inspired by the movies, poetry, and Ronald Coleman. They sit on a hammock and spin dreams of fantasy.
Right, Ruth. The boy starts off by saying, "Darling, it's a far, far better thing I do to ask you to marry me. I'm tired of going home nights."
I accept. I accept you. Come to my arms, Superman.
Oh, Dragon Lady. I shall build you a castle high where the wind meets the clouds, and there we shall dwell.
Where are we really going to live?
Probably in a reconverted army barracks.
I care not, my beloved. I shall brew for you strange spices and cook honey and almonds in rare old wines.
Do you cook?
No.
Who cares for food, my darling? I shall race like the winds through the trees every night as I fly home to you.
Every night?
I play cards Wednesday nights. But if you'd rather I didn't, I shall stay home and read poetry to you.
Do you like poetry?
I've never read it. But we'll be different. Everything will be different than any other marriage the world has ever known. We'll be married on a hilltop with a 1,000-voice choir singing to us. Flowers by the millions will blanket the hillsides. We'll drive away in a white coach driven by 50 horses.
Oh, my darling, when will all this happen?
As soon as you give me your dollar for the license, I've got mine.
Those proposals are okay as far as they go, but I think you've overlooked one way, the oldest way in the world. Just sing to them.
And with a hit like Nick Kenny's latest tune, Blue, you just can't miss.
Blue,
was just like reaching for the moon. But love sometimes is unexplainable. I counted my heartaches too soon. I was lonely and I was aimlessly drifting along with the tide, like a ship lost at sea. At a table for two, and the sweet serenade that the orchestra played was a blue melody. Then, like the sun on a rainy day, you took my heart on a holiday. And I'm grateful to you. Thanks for taking me out of this old world into a world that is new. Now my heaven taking me out of this old world into a world that is new. Now my heaven is blue.
Ralph Bellamy and Ruth Hussey in State of the Union is an experience I'll never forget. You'll rarely find a more perfect team in any play.
Thank you, Paul. We have Howard Lindsay and Russell Krause to thank. They've given us a perfect play. State of the Union is called a comedy, but with all the laughter threaded through the three acts, there's a serious challenge to the American people to examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine their political institutions in naked honesty and make them examine the American people. Every people, ignorant people, and prejudiced people are not free people. The laughter in State of the Union cries with common sense. Faith in the future expresses itself through the simple dramatic denominator of a husband, who is an airplane manufacturer, and his wife, Grant and Mary Matthews, and the possibility of that husband becoming a candidate for president.
Grant, I'm very proud of you.
Well, Mary, don't think I'm taking the idea of my being president too seriously.
I'm taking it seriously. I think it would be a wonderful thing for the country.
That's about as nice a thing as you could say, Mary. It's a big job, I'm not so sure I've got what it takes.
I am. It's not only that I think you have the brains for it. The important thing to me is, Grant, you've always tried to be honest.
Tried to be?
Oh, you've cut some corners to get where you wanted to. That's what frightens me a little. I will say this, you always had the decency to be unhappy about it.
With some help from you.
But when you weren't thinking of yourself, when it came to what was best for the airplane industry as a whole, I've seen you take some pretty big losses.
Right now, I'm thinking about the country as a whole. There's a big job to be done. I'm scared, Mary.
About being president?
No, about what's happening to the country. It's breaking up again.
What do you think you can do about it?
I think somebody can appeal to what's best in people instead of what's worst.
And still be in politics.
That's my whole case, Mary. If I can make the people see the choice they've got to make, the choice between their own interests and the interests of the country as a whole, I think the American people are sound. I think they can be unselfish.
All of them.
Heck, we both know there are plenty of people in this world who'll always be out for themselves, but that's where I differ from Conover. I think they're in the minority.
I do, too. How much do you and Conover differ?
He's a politician. Politicians think you have to bribe people to vote for you one way or another.
You mean groups like the Poles and the Italians?
Yes, and labor and the farmers and big business and the rest of them. But I'm not going to play politics.
That'll take a lot of courage.
No, it won't. I have faith in the American people.
So have I. But, Grant, the presidency's a great temptation.
I don't even want the job. Whether I become president or not is completely unimportant.
Grant?
Yes?
How long will we be gone on this speaking tour?
Oh, 5 or 6 weeks.
I'll miss the children.
So will I. We ought to be thinking about a good boarding school for those kids.
For heaven's sake, why?
Well, I'm not so sure the White House is a good place to raise children.
Grant?
Yes?
When are you going to break the news?
You mean that I'm a candidate?
Oh, you're way beyond the nomination. You've elected yourself.
I walked into that one, but I didn't mean it quite the way it sounded.
Where are we going first?
Minneapolis.
What are you speaking about there?
I'm not making a speech there. That's Stassen territory. Conover thought I might just stir up trouble.
Uh-huh. I suppose that's good politics. Tell me some more of your differences with Conover.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. That was my decision. I'm making all the decisions. I've told Conover where I stand, and he knows I'm going to tell the American people where I stand. The American people are facing problems today that'll affect the future of the entire world. There's only one way to face them, with absolute honesty, with utter frankness.
Grant?
What?
Wouldn't you feel more comfortable if you took off that stuffed shirt?
Now, just a minute. I want to straighten you out on this, too. If I have anything to offer, it's to change the whole complexion of political campaigns. I am not going before the American people telling them what I can do for them. But what I can do for them is to show them that the strength of this country within our own borders...
Grant.
What?
Take it easy. I'm going to vote for you.
Hey, Paul, isn't that music a little inappropriate?
Oh, not at all. California Here I Come is serving two purposes. First, it's our now and then for today. And second, it's our way of saying the Radio Hall of Fame is on its way out there with a stopover in Chicago.
I envy you going out to California this time of year.
Oh, yep, good old sunny Cal, where the sun spends the winter.
I know, but why doesn't it spend the summer there once in a while?
A confirmed New Yorker.
No, a Midwesterner. Chicago. In fact, the first time I heard California Here I Come was at a dance, and you were playing it. It was at the Edgewater Beach Hotel.
That's right. Al Jolson came through Chicago, sang the song, handed me the lead sheet, and said, "This is going to be a big hit."
So, California Here I Come really got its start in Chicago. Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Why, Ruthie, I didn't know you could sing.
How do you like that?
Now, Mrs. and Mr. M, no arguing, because right now... you're going to hear the Whiteman Band play California Here I Come just the way we recorded it way back in the days of the Edgewater Beach. Take it, boys. Oh, take it lightly.
You know, Paul, the night I heard that, I thought it was the hottest thing yet. I wonder what time has done to
it. Oh, just listen, Ralph. Just listen.
And a swell theme song now for Philco's new radio march from coast to coast.
Yes, all those fine new Philco radios you'll be hearing soon with brand new designs, new engineering, and sensational new improvements from the Philco laboratories. Philco is really on the march again, Paul.
Ah, it's an old Philco custom, Glenn. They've been leading the radio parade ever since our band was playing this tune that you all remember. Button up your overcoat. Out of the 1930 memory book. That's how long Philco has been tops in radio.
And this year, Philco returns to its unbroken record of radio leadership. With the wealth of Philco's wartime triumphs in radar and electronics, in brilliant new radios that are 10 years ahead of 4 years ago. New portables, new table models, new radio phonographs. As fast as Philco can ship them, they're going to your Philco dealer now. Wait till you see Philco's amazing new invention that obsoletes all manually operated phonographs. It's a table model radio phonograph with an automatic record player that starts, plays, and stops itself. And only Philco has it. Just one more Philco first that will soon be sweeping the country like...
Martha's all decked out in blue this week. First, it was just plain blue, and now it's blue skies. Ah, make those skies smile at all of us, honey. Make them smile.
Bluebirds all day long.
Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, why, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw the
Stars of State of the Union, the sympathy and understanding you bring to your roles makes you great American actors in a great American play. We were honored to honor you, Ralph Bellamy and Ruth Hussey.
Thank you, Paul.
Me too, Paul. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Join us next week when the Radio Hall of Fame will come from the Civic Opera House in Chicago, and with us will be that other member of the Philco family, Don McNeil of the Breakfast Club, and that delightful, the lovely, delicious little lady of stage and screen, Miss Joan Blondell. Martha Tilton will be around to sing a couple of songs of the Radio Hall of Fame orchestra and choir, and waving the stick for Philco will be yours sincerely, Paul Whiteman.
Don't miss Philco's other program, The Breakfast Club, with John McNeil, Monday through Friday over these same stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.